It's good to be back in Benicia again. I recognize some familiar faces and see some that I don't quite know so well. I'm Father John Moline. I was ordained actually about 7 years ago, and I've been working on a doctorate in philosophy in Washington, D.C. So I came back to the province for our assembly, which you know was a week ago, and then volunteered to help Father Jerome and Father David and Father Vic out this weekend here with Masses. So I came in and arrived on the afternoon of 4th of July, got settled in at the house, and then after dinner, went down for a walk along the water. And I was thinking about the readings. I had a sort of a homily starting to develop. And the passage along, I bicycled down to the marina and then along the waterfront out by various roads. And what I saw and what I experienced helped to bring some ideas together. I noticed at first that the word meekness comes up in both the first reading and the gospel. So I thought, okay, that sounds like a good place to start. I know for me, when I think the word meekness, we think as the one who meekly comes back and seeks correction or whatever. It seems to be a sort of lack of strength, a lack of power, or perhaps a lack of courage to do what is right. And yet we read in the Gospels, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." And Thomas Aquinas says, well, not only is meekness a beatitude, but it's a virtue as well. It's a source of excellence. So what was I doing? I was walking down to the water, and I was thinking about, in the context of 4th of July, how when what we celebrate is our independence, what we're celebrating is freedom, is liberation. Liberation from what? Well, Pope Benedict, before he was Pope Benedict, wrote a document in which he reminded all the Christian faithful that the first and most important sense of liberation is liberation, is freedom from sin, which Jesus Christ won for us by his passion and death on the cross. Then as I was going from the marina around, I noticed the sun bouncing off the waters, and I thought of this line from the first readings, that the Lord comes to proclaim peace to the nations from sea to sea. And I felt the breeze blowing across the waters and saw the golden hills dotted with the green trees on the other side. And then the smell of barbecue as I started winding my way through the neighborhoods. And the sight and smells and sounds of people having a good time, of enjoying one another's company. And that took me back even further to the days of my childhood when our parents would load us up in the family van. I'm the oldest of 10, but there would be about 6 or 8 at the time when I was little, you know. And we'd load up in the family van and we'd drive off to the family parties. And I'd be complaining, oh, Mom, not again, you know. And she'd say, now I know your cousins weren't so nice to you next time, but you need to set that aside. And you need just to have a good time and enjoy their company. And don't bring it up. Don't bring up what happened last time. Just give it another chance. You know, I didn't realize this at the time, but then the uncles might have to do the same thing. You know, maybe they had gone in and bought a boat together, and there was a bit of a tension over who got to use it 4th of July and who got to use it Memorial Day weekend. Or some of the siblings might be having tension over how they were going to care for their mother, my grandmother, you know, as she got older in years and as her husband had passed away. Or, of course, there's always the somebody's going to be unhappy with the sister's current boyfriend, and possibly for good reason. I always think that parents should be given special veto power on boyfriends. And I'm the oldest. I have 6 sisters, so maybe that weighs into it somewhat. But the sense, then, that I'm bringing to your attention, as I'm hearing, I think you're getting well, is that when we go to family gatherings, we have to make a special effort to set aside any tensions or problems or issues that we might have with the other members of the family and simply to have a good time on that day. Why? Well, instinctively, we know it's because what families should be, it's what families should do. But there's something else that it does for us as well. It gives us an experience, an encounter that can serve as the basis to go back and have those difficult conversations about the boat, about our parents' care, or about relationships or life choices that others in the family might be making. And here's precisely where the virtue of meekness comes in. Meekness, we could say, is a virtue whereby we moderate or set aside our anger. And what is anger? Anger, at least properly understood, is indignation at some wrong or injustice that has been done to us. you know, we really don't have a right to get mad if we experience something bad that happens to us as a result of some fault or sin or crime or something that we've committed. We really don't have a right to get angry about that. But when an injustice is done to us, something wells up inside us. Aristotle says it's the boiling of blood around the heart accompanied by the desire for revenge or retaliation or some kind of response, that we feel it in our bodies. And we experience it as well in our psyche, in our soul. The desire to undo the wrong that has been done, that's a good understanding of anger, rightly understood. Where does meekness come in? Meekness, as I said at the beginning, seems at first to be a lack of strength, a lack of power, or a lack of courage, that when we experience anger, we also experience within ourselves the inability to respond to what has been done. But what does the first reading tell us? Your king shall come to you. A just savior is he. The one who saves, the one who delivers, has to have power. Meek and riding on an ass, on a colt, the foal of a donkey, he makes a choice, the king does, to present himself in a certain way. Virtue is about choices, good choices. Meekness is a choice that we make. What is the choice that the meek person makes in the response to anger? It's the choice to moderate or set aside that anger. Why? Lest in an excess of anger we should fall into sin and do to another person an injustice in return. Not simply to correct the wrong that has been done, but to go overboard and beyond and do a wrong ourselves in return in that excess of anger. Meekness helps to moderate our anger. I think more importantly, though, if we go back to think about that experience of coming together as a family to celebrate something like 4th of July or some other holiday, to have those encounters to develop and strengthen the healthy relationships that allow us to have difficult conversations, we can think about meekness in the light of that as well. That meekness gives us the chance and allows us to make a choice not to be angry, not to retaliate or respond inappropriately or make snide comments or put the other person down, but to step back and to think about how to offer to the person, when we're in the right frame of mind and when they're in the right frame of mind, to offer them a gentle reproof or a gentle correction that helps them to see that we're trying to help them grow in their friendship with Jesus Christ. Meekness allows us to moderate our anger so that what we offer to the other person is offered in a genuine spirit of desire to help them grow closer to Christ, and that we do our best to offer it in such a way that we bring about what we desire. A good check, then, to see if we're being genuinely meek in the virtuous sense, in the sense of excellence, is to ask ourselves, as we go to speak to our family members, our coworkers, our boss, whoever it might be, are we offering our correction, our comments, in a way that's genuinely intended to help them draw closer to Christ? And a good check afterward is, do we feel that the encounter, at least in the way that what we were responsible for, that it did help bring them closer to Christ? Over at Catholic University in D.C., where I'm working on my doctoral studies, a lot of times the undergraduates will come to me or one of the other priests and they'll say, I'm having a difficulty with a fellow student. I'm having some challenges in my class with my teacher. How do I go about it? And I offer them that advice. Ask yourself, is your intent to help this fellow student, we'll leave the side teachers out for a minute, is your intent to help this fellow student draw closer to Jesus Christ? And a lot of times they'll stop and they'll pause and they'll say, no, I just want to get even. And then they'll ask me, how do I change my perspective? How do I change my approach so that I genuinely can help them draw closer to Christ? And so we sit down and we think through several possible scenarios. And sometimes these students are good enough to come back to me and they'll say, thanks very much. They'll say, it worked. I did just what you said. I started with prayer, and then maybe the student and I prayed together as well. And then I gently and carefully presented where I was coming from, how what they had done it made me feel, and what I hoped for in terms of our growth in relationship with each other and with Christ. And you know what? They responded well. And they took and they heard what I had to say. I don't know where our relationship's going to go from here, but I felt like that encounter was an encounter in the context of a grace-filled moment inspired by the Holy Spirit and guided by Jesus Christ. It makes a difference, this virtue of meekness, to set aside anger so that we can offer to others the opportunity to draw closer to Jesus Christ. We offer it not from a place of weakness, but in fact from a place of strength. The virtuous person is the one who acts in the strength of knowing that he or she is making the right choice. In all this, we follow the example of Jesus Christ himself, meek and humble of heart, who from sea to sea proclaims peace to the nations, proclaims peace to our hearts, and who shows us the way how to encounter others in a manner that allows us to bring them closer to him, closer to Jesus Christ.